Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
I love that first hour. That was so easy. That was so fun. Welcome back. We start our second hour. I am Jim Rome, live in the Quicken Loan Studios in Southern California. Quicken Loans applies simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. That's how that goes. Three-segment hour, I roll out. I do a great opening segment like I do every single day because I'm good like that. And then two great interviews, Peter LaViolette, Dave Yeager, back-to-back. And there's hour number one. That easy. Coming up next segment, another very good interview, Miles Plumlee, Atlanta Hawks center. And we start the second hour. Telephone number is 1-800-636-8686. I just thought about this for the first time this morning. I'm laughing about yesterday. Somebody called up pretending to be Fabian. And it was really funny. And I should have known. In fact, I did know. I knew right away it was not him. Because he started the call by saying, "Romy." Fabian does not do that. Fabian starts his calls with "Dougie Dog." But the only thing better than a guy pretending to be Fabian was the actual Fabian listening and trying to make sense of what was going down. Like, is that cat pretending to be me? Why is Rome talking to me when I'm listening to the show but not talking to him? That was yesterday. That was funny. So today, additionally, I started the program off by talking about Golden State suspending Draymond Green without pay for one game. And my feeling is they clearly feel like he crossed the line in getting into it with Kevin Durant, and they were looking to send him a message. Most of you do not see it that way. Most of you are saying, yeah, you know what they did? They did that because Durant's a big baby, and they think he's going to leave. Matt in Vancouver went as far as to say he's a bitch. That's why they did that. And I'm disagreeing. That's not why they did that. They did that because they felt like Draymond stepped over the line. Trust me, Bob Myers, Steve Kerr, they would not do something like that without giving that serious consideration. And they felt strongly about that. I also do not necessarily think they would do that if they thought that it might make it so much worse. But then again, I wonder, is it going to make it worse? Durant didn't seem like all was forgiven. When he was asked about it, James Kelly, "What are you doing, boss? What's up? Where do I go now?" When he was asked about it afterwards, and a reporter said in a presser, "Have you gotten with Draymond Green? Have you hashed it out?" His response, and I quote, was, "Nah."
Have you and Draymond been able to hash anything out?
Nah.
Didn't elaborate, just nah. Nah. In other words, he's still upset. So in suspending Draymond Green, does that mean that's the end of that? Or is it going to make it worse? Is it going to escalate? Also, Rams, Chiefs coming back to L.A. I haven't laid out my thoughts yet, but it's been a big topic so far. This person emails, "Hey, Jim, regarding the Azteca Stadium field, it's disgusting. It's muddy. It smells. It's patchy. It looks like it has not been treated in years. It doesn't meet safety standards. What exactly is the problem? Yours, Portland woman."
Well, you know what? We got this phenomenon up here in Oregon, and I call it Portland woman. Portland woman, she doesn't shave, she doesn't clean up. They put her on TV. Turn on any Portland channel with a local show. You'll find Portland woman showing off her stuff, gray hair, no makeup, all the wrinkles to boot, and the clothing is something else. You can see the stains. So, anyways, to Portland woman, please, please, do us all a favor and clean it up. That's all I got, Romy.
Is that all, Brandon, in Portland? All right. I will allow that. I'll allow that. I'm going to get to that topic in 1 minute. Quickly, this email reads, "Rome, not to go all Rick in Buffalo, but the way the camera just zoomed in on Hawk's face, I realized I would give up my truck for two things. One more high school football game and to headbutt that freak and rip that stupid stash right off his face." Marty from the real Vancouver, U.S. of A. He obviously is watching the show. CBS Sports Network, they're doing it. They're going in on Hawk. There's Hawk with that stupid shirt and the equally stupid porn stash. I'm fine with it. This guy's not. This guy says he'd give up his truck. And I'm guessing that truck probably means more to him than almost anything. For two things. Number one, one more high school football game. That's an awesome take, too. Just Rome. Just I'd give up anything, even my truck. All I want, one more high school football game and to headbutt that freak Hawk and rip that stupid stash off his face. Dear Rome, what was wrong with that field in Mexico City? Looks better than our baseball field that we play on. Signed, the Raiders. John in Huntington Beach. Unwore dads that don't help volunteer in Little League. All right, on that topic. So I've said nearly every single Monday that the NFL has given us one great game after another all year long. Even this past Monday, what looked like a terrible Monday night game turned out to be a pretty good Monday night game. That said, there has not been a game that's been more anticipated this season than Chiefs-Rams Monday night. 9-1 v. 9-1. Mahomes v. Goff. Reed v. McVay. Two of the most explosive offenses with two of the most exciting quarterbacks. Two of the most brilliant play callers finally facing off. The game of the regular season. You know that phrase, Super Bowl preview? It gets thrown around way too much, but this legitimately could be a Super Bowl preview. And it goes down Monday night in Mexico City. Los Angeles. It's going to be played in L.A. because the Azteca Stadium field was in brutal shape. And I'm not just talking bad, I mean terrible. And I'm not sure what's a bigger mess, the field or the situation itself, because it is ugly all the way around. When you have two offenses like this, with all the speed that they possess, you want the very best possible conditions. And those were not close to the best possible conditions. In fact, they may have been the worst possible conditions ever. Have you seen the photos floating around on social? They're crazy. I mean, you could practically see the ACL tears where the yard lines are supposed to be. How bad? The Raiders play on a field that's only missing a second base and a pitcher's mound, and everybody seems to be okay with that. That's fine. That's allowed, but this isn't. And no, since you've already started in, I don't want any tweets or emails from EJO or NorvT saying how ripped up, pockmarked, and flat out destroyed that field was. I know what you're thinking. Before you think it, don't do it. Still, it's hard to imagine how something like that could happen. I mean, a league that regulates the length of players' socks should not be surprised that it rains in the rainy season or that soccer games are played in a soccer stadium. I'm pretty sure that Shakira didn't just show up unannounced and start belting out hits from 06 when she hit that field. Man, music was so much better back in the day. Timeless. The only thing that would have been a bigger disaster than moving a game during game week, and that's pretty disastrous. The only thing worse would be bringing these teams to Mexico City and letting them play a game on that slop, on that goat track. Then again, the league partially had that decision made for them once Adam Schefter reported that players on both teams were considering not playing. As one player said, quote, "It's not fair to risk our health," end quote. Truth. There's no way you could let any team play on that field and claim that you were interested in player safety. I mean, that player safety argument already has taken a couple of hits this year. When the Raiders and the Niners played home games with terrible air quality numbers, if you do this and you run the players out there on that marsh on Monday night, you may as well just throw that player safety argument out the window once and for all. So the league had to move the game back to L.A. And I know how badly they wanted to play that game in Mexico City, how badly they want to make the game international, but that's not how you do it. Forget for a moment that that might be the biggest and most important game of the regular season – Never mind those two teams. You can't play a game between 2-1-9 teams on that field. So moving that game from Mexico City is not ideal. It's a bad look all the way around. But keeping that game there, having multiple guys sit out, would have been a much worse look. And the worst look of all would have been for a player or players to shred their knees or ankles on that slop. Any attempt to play on that field would have been complete and total malpractice. You had to bring it back. But my question is, how did it get to that point? How did you not know? Again, it's going to rain during the rainy season. There's going to be soccer teams playing on a soccer pitch. Shakira is going to go Shakira. The NFL didn't know that? I wish she'd come in this studio and perform live. Maybe unplugged. Open invite whenever you want. CFO Carnap got in earlier. He tweets. He's Batman. CFO Carnap tweets. Laviolette had to rock that giant dome once. Try it every day like I do. Then you tell me how it feels. Signed, The Flight Deck. James Kelly, you're having a big week, bro. Pauly T. Wall tweets. Pass me the bleeping bowl. Signed, Le'Veon, knowing that he will not be drug tested this year. Haven't gotten to that take yet. It's a good day. And this. Phil A. 124 tweets. Rome. Who would ever be lame and tired and make a joke about two guys who've done nothing but been in awesome movies and coached kick-ass offenses? Respectfully, Benito Santiago. Why are we talking Benito Santiago? Are we talking old school Padre baseball? Are we talking about a guy who could throw runners out at second base from his knees? Yeah, I didn't think so. So how's that coming up, Phil?
I'm Batman.
Hey, Jim, I agree. You shouldn't want to hear from EJO or Norv. That's just jacked up. Signed, Danny Trejo. Mike in Buffalo, loopholing them. Quote, loopholing them. Hey, Mike, you're not loopholing anybody, nor are you fooling anybody, nor are you making my show or my life any better. There are no loopholes. No loopholes to bum smack, no loopholes to personal appearance smack. The rules are the rules. The show is the show. Hey, Rome, even we can't believe how carved up Azteca Field looked. Signed, Mick Rourke and Meg Ryan. Lee in Vancouver, we've hit them all. You've hit them all. You're done. Sarah Jessica Parker, check. EJO, check. Norv Turner, check. Trejo, check. Mick Rourke, check. Meg Ryan, check. Margot Kidder, I said it, check. There's nothing left. Stick to the freaking show. Stick to the topics. Stop doing what you're doing. When we return, Atlanta Hawks center, Miles Plumlee is my guest. And bad news is, we're open after that. Wide ass open. There is something to be said for being the very best. You clones would not know that. I'm talking about the best. Outrunning, outpacing, outsmarting the competition. Elite athletes know you cannot be the best until you have beaten the best. If you want to be the man, beat the man. Castrol Edge knows this. You need to be strong, and you need to stay strong. Like Castrol Edge, the strongest full synthetic motor oil, engineered with fluid titanium technology to reduce power-robbing friction to maximize engine performance. Did you know that friction that I'm talking about can rob 10% of performance from your engine? As an analogy, say you're lined up from some other guy. He's at 100, you're at 90. He's going to knock you on your back. Castrol Edge is strong under pressure. Not only strong, three times stronger than the leading full synthetic against viscosity breakdown that was proven in the Kurt Orban test. Kurt Orban, it's the strength that your engine needs to perform at its highest level and keep you living on the edge with Castrol Edge. Always stronger under pressure.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
CBS, the Super Bowl season continues Sunday with exciting regional action. Pittsburgh heading south to battle Jacksonville. LA Chargers hosting Denver in a big-time AFC Western showdown. Check your local listings for the game in your area. Kick the day off with the NFL Today, presented by Jeep. 12 Eastern, 9 Pacific on CBS. And again, I will be back this weekend in New York City for the NFL on CBS. The show starts at 12 noon, 9 Pacific, 1-800-636-8686. He's Batman, and I'm efforting Atlanta Hawks center Miles Plumlee. Dear Rome, oh, now we care about field conditions. About 3 years too late, signed Robert Griffin III.
No pressure, no diamonds.
Tony in Albuquerque, unworthy forthcoming. I remember when men played football and would play on a muddy field take from boomers. Nobody's playing on that field. Nobody should play on that field. If they want to play some soccer on that field, go ahead. Even I wouldn't do that. I would imagine soccer. Anybody who's going to play on that field is going to look at that field and say, oh, hell no. Like I said, you could practically see the shredded ACLs on the yard lines. It was that bad. And then when they doubled down, they tried to drop some new sod in there. They didn't know how to install it. It only made it worse. But the NFL being the NFL and how buttoned up and detail-oriented the NFL is and how long they had been working on that, how did it come to that point? Ed Rich in the 302 tweets, Estadio Azteca is fine. Hey, Rich, I'm not going to read that. You know I like that guy. And you know that's not part of the show. And you can't, quote, loophole him. All right, so as I wait on Miles Plumlee, let's just move on to something else. You have your phone number. You know where to find me on Twitter. You know where to find me on the email. Quick reminder, the Jim Rome podcast is going to drop later on today. Billy Corbin is going to be my guest. He's done some amazing documentaries, and they're always in his backyard. But then again, Florida being Florida, he's got so much to work with. He did a documentary on the U. He did a documentary called Cocaine Cowboys. And this one's called Screwball, and it's all about biogenesis and the roid scandal involving A-Rod and Man Ram and Ryan Braun and some other people you don't know. It's awesome. So we will have that for you later on today. Make sure you look for it. It's premium content, content that I can't do on this show, content to you, which is free. Le'Veon Bell, the other big story. Finally, it's here. The day after the Le'Veon Bell deadline day. Yesterday's deadline at 4 p.m. came and it went and there was no sign of Bell. And absolutely no surprises. Shortly after 4 p.m. Eastern yesterday, the Steelers' official Twitter feed posted a tweet which read, in short, statement from GM Kevin Colbert on running back Le'Veon Bell. Quote, I want to confirm that Le'Veon Bell did not sign his franchise tender today, and as a result, he will not be eligible to play football during the 2018 season, end quote. So everything had been trending in that direction, and the only thing that changed yesterday was that a bunch of fantasy owners finally gave up on the fantasy that this guy was going to come back this season, because he's not. And maybe we should have believed him when he said from the jump that he might not play this year. So his season is over before it began, barring a miracle. And his time in Pittsburgh is over. The other thing that's over is that we don't have to hear both sides saying that they expect this or they plan on that. Only for those expectations and plans to fall through every single time and none of it ever happens. So where does that leave us and what's it all mean? It probably means there will not be another story of its kind for another few months, which is awesome. Actually, I doubt we'll be that lucky. Even though this is not really, there hasn't been any real news for a while, it somehow manages to be a story on a regular basis for months. And that probably is going to continue, even though it shouldn't. He'll probably pop up on Twitter every so often, thumb something out upside down, show up for a local basketball run. But really what this means is that we get to talk about the good stuff now. You know, like tenders, tags, all over again. Hell yes, because what's better than that? According to reports, the franchise tender for Le'Veon Bell next season would be somewhere in the neighborhood of $25 million. And if that's true, there is no way the Steelers are going to hit him with that tender. No way in hell the Steelers are doing that. We know this. Franchise tender out. You can take that off your big board of tenders. PFT, meantime, reports that showing up this season means that his transition tender would remain at 14 and a half. But my question to that is, why would the Steelers pay that kind of money? Why would they pay $14.5 million to him next season when they had James Conner and his numbers this year are comparable to anything that Le'Veon Bell's ever done? And they got him for under $600K. Now, I'm not saying that some team that thinks they're a player away or some team who's got a GM who thinks that he's another bad loss from getting fired won't give Bell what he wants or close to it. What I am saying is the Steelers are not going to be the ones to do it. And why the hell should they? They didn't miss this guy. They didn't need this guy at all. They simply plugged in James Conner, who was almost as good. And overall, they're 6-2-1. They've won 5 games in a row. They are a legitimate Super Bowl contender. Oh, and they saved $14.5 million that they can roll over into next season and use on somebody or something else. The Steelers didn't blink, and they're not going to commit that kind of money to that position going forward. In fact, I'd argue that most people won't. Now, Bell's argument is, well, I'm not a running back. I'm not asking you to commit that kind of money to that position. I'm not a running back. I'm more than that. I'm your best running back, and I'm your second best wide receiver. Yeah, maybe. Maybe. Except their second best running back is almost as good as you. And then the Steelers would say, anyway, we don't care. We don't need that hybrid. We don't need a $15 million hybrid. In fact, I bet the Steelers deep down are happy this guy didn't come in yesterday. That way, they don't have to find a way to work him back in. That way, they don't have to risk him jacking with their chemistry, their flow, their rhythm. Again, they're peaking at just the right time. They don't want anything to disrupt that. Bottom line, this worked out just fine for Pittsburgh. They're not hurt by this at all. But did it work out for Bell? Did he overplay his hand? Did he burn money that he could never get back? Did he lose a year of his career? Or was it smart business? Was it savvy? Is he going to be fine? Is he going to get over? Too soon to tell. I already know that the Steelers were not hurt by this. I'll say that right now, even before the postseason. But with Le'Veon, it's too soon to tell. Look, I'm going to argue that in today's NFL, there is no back worth $15 million or more. He'll want more. There is no back worth $15 million because there are much cheaper alternatives, and they're not that hard to find. That said, you're worth whatever somebody will pay you, and all it takes is one. And again, there very well might be one team that's that desperate. One team that thinks they're one player away. One GM who knows he's going to get fired and has the money and will give it to him. He may get it still. Time's going to tell. I just know this, it's not going to be in Pittsburgh. And they played this perfectly, but it might still work out for Le'Veon. I know this. I'm just glad that I don't have to talk about this anymore. At least I hope I do not have to talk about this anymore. Where did he come out? Did he do the right thing, or did it come back to bite him already? Steeler fans, what do you make? What do you make of this? Did the team handle it the right way, or would you feel a lot better about your chances if you had both he and Connor? At oh my, it's Brad. I definitely have not read a tweet from that guy before. Oh my, it's Brad. The dude from Smashing Pumpkins makes documentaries now? Cool. No, it's not that guy. That's Billy Corgan, Brad. Not Billy Corbin. It's not the guy from Smashing Pumpkins. I mean, he might make docs, but that's not the guy I'm talking to. He's not the guy who did the documentary on the U. He's not the guy who did the documentary on Cocaine Cowboys. There's a lot of blow in Florida. I don't think that I'm putting myself too far out there when I say that. if I'm not mistaken, I'm going to allege or suggest or speculate that it is the Coke capital of the U.S. I might be wrong. I'm just speculating. I think there's a lot of blow in that town. Personally, I'm not about that life. All right, still ahead. I'm not sure what happened to... He's worth it. He's really interesting. On top of that, Cat v. Fat. Are you throwing down for that? $20. Pay-per-view. Match play. Two of the best ever. Chael Jr. just copped to it. Quote, I already did. Keith Arnold on record. Not only did it, but is not ashamed that he did it and wants everybody to know that he did it. Hawk, how about you? Not yet. Hawk lost all of his jack fighting City Hall. He's broke. In other words, you would do it if you had the money. Car tow, double rent. I don't have the money where I would do it. Hey, JR, you got to invite him over, aren't you? Split the cost, man. This is getting really stupid. Really stupid by the second. Chael's like, dude, I got family in town. I don't think I need my family meeting Hawk. Listen, Todd Gurley makes $15 million. I understand that. I know that. Not only does he make $15 million, his contract wasn't up. He had years left, and they still did that for him. I would allege that the Rams did that for him to send a message to the rest of the locker room. And, by the way, the guy's awesome. He is awesome. And you can see where he's going to put up those numbers. That works for the Rams. Again, there might be somebody willing to give Le'Veon that money. I'm not saying that there's not. I'm saying that I personally would not spend that kind of money on a running back because there are cheaper alternatives. But for the Rams, it's paying off if they get it done this year. And they have a great player. Gurley is younger. Would you give Le'Veon Bell that kind of money? All right, we'll come right back. It's a good topic for you. First up, sports update. Here's the latest.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
We're trying to move Miles Plumlee until the top of the hour. So I will effort that. He's worth it. He's that interesting. All right, so that opens things up. 1-800-636-8686. It opens it up. Call me right now. The interview is set for the top of the hour. Since I touched on this going into the break, let me finish the thought. The countdown is on to November 24th. No, not another day off for me. Not Thanksgiving. What the 24th is, and it can't get here soon enough, is that's the day after Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson. Their $20 pay-per-view shakedown out in Vegas. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. Aren't these two dudes in a spot where they could never, ever, ever spend what they've already made? I mean, I understand Tiger got divorced, so he lost a chunk. I understand that Phil likes to get down, and who knows what his gambling situation's like. But can these dudes not? I mean, how much money do you need that you would try and put something like that over on the public? How much money have these two dudes made? And I don't begrudge them that at all. Great. If I could do what they could do, then I'd want that kind of money too. But if you've made that kind of money, why are you associating with some shakedown like this? I mean, I cannot wait for this fraudulent racket to be in our collective rear view. I cannot wait until this hose job is over and done with and buried alongside the 1940s mobsters out in the desert that are currently taking a dirt nap right off of State Route 161. We've been over this before. Two of the oldest dudes on tour, a decade removed from their primes, who have two wins between them in the last 5 years, who are two of the worst Ryder Cup match players we've ever had, yet they still want to go into your pocket and fish out a twomper. and pay to see them play each other. You know, and they try to make this out to be like, yeah, $10 million to the winner. Yeah, of our money, put up your own money and then play your $5 or $10 million winner take all. I might even watch that, maybe, and probably not. Because, again, they're 10 years past their prime. But if you want to set this thing up like some kind of $5 million, $7 million, $10 million throwdown, winner take all, do it. Put up your own damn money. And then maybe I'll put up some of my own money. Yet they want us to pay for it. They want us to pay for something that we've been watching for free on rabbit ear TV since the 1990s. I mean, every time I break down this circus clown show, it sounds more ridiculous than the last time I talked about this circus clown show. One thing for me to say it, though. You know, they pay me to do that. You expect that from me. But entirely another for other guys on tour to shade and clown this con job. Justin Thomas, a Big Cat disciple, tweeted and deleted last month, quote, "Love Tiger and Phil to death, but there is zero chance I order that. I'll be watching football." End of tweet. Man, damn straight. Roll Tide. Roll Justin Thomas. There's your take right there. I love these guys to death, but there's zero chance that I'll be watching that. Zero chance that I'll order that because I'll be watching football. The only thing missing was proudly keeping that tweet up and not taking it down. My man should have pinned that tweet. Except he took it down. I'm sure somebody important flexed on him and said, you know, it's bad for business for a world top five stick to drag Elgato and Hefty's racket like that. So JT took it down. Lucky for us, the internet is in Electric Tattoo Ink. But there really is no taking this down. Rory jumped in. Rory McIlroy, the heir apparent to the swoosh, at the podium in Dubai yesterday, absolutely gutted the entire farce.
Will you be one of those coughing up 1999?
No. No. I contemplated it, and I said I was having lunch with Phil. It was one of the FedEx Cup events. And I said, oh, I might pay to watch it. And he took $25 out of his pocket and said, no, here's $25. I'll pay for it for you. Thank you. But, look, it's, geez, if I had it done it 15 years ago, it would have been great. But I think nowadays it's missed the mark a little bit.
Look, if they had done it 15 years ago, it would have been great. But nowadays it missed the mark a little bit. I mean, I can't decide what I like better. Rory dumping a 10-gallon bucket of truth all over that scam. Or Rory diming on Hefty for trying to pay him to get him to watch it. But give Hefty that. No way in hell Tiger goes into his wallet to get Rory to watch that. No way Tiger gives him a twomper. What an incredible takedown by Rory. Give Team Europe a retroactive Ryder Cup point for that takedown. Rory is a rich, rich man. A multimillionaire many times over. A dude with the role of Andy Jackson's in his ashtray. And he's still not going to break one of them off for the cat v. fat. Hell, he won't even let the fat pay for the cat v. the fat. That's how much he doesn't care to see this crap on the 22nd. Which is why I'm counting down to the 24th. Again, this is a guy who grew up with Tiger posters on his wall, and he's out here skewering him on the mic. If only Rory was still that dangerous with a club in his hand. If only he was that dangerous on the track still. Now, in fairness to the event, I'm going to run back a clip from the HBO miniseries. And there really is an HBO miniseries for this thing, 24/7. It dropped last night. It's only right, I guess, that I cover both sides of this thing, that I'm fair, that I give it a chance. I don't know. Maybe it's me. Maybe y'all do want to see it. Maybe it's more than just Keith Arnold and Hawk. Maybe lots of you want to see it. Maybe me, Rory and JT are being unfair? Let's find out. Here's Phil explaining to HBO just how intense and savage the trash talk and mental warfare has been between him and the cat. Now, let me just say this as fair warning. This is a pretty jarring clip. Listener discretion is advised.
Like the Pebble Beach Pro-Am a few years back, when Phil saw a path to getting under Tiger's skin.
His partner that week was Tony Romo. And that night before the final round, Saturday, was a big dinner that Jim Nantz put on, and I got seated next to Tony. And we had this great night, had a lot of fun, but I knew that it would bother Tiger that I had dinner with his partner. Tony knew this would also bother him too, so he said to his caddy, "Don't mention that we had dinner, that I had dinner last night, you know, with Phil. Don't even bring up the dinner." We're on the first tee. I tee off, Tiger tees off, and I wait before I walk off because I want a distance between me and Tony so I could say it loud enough. So as we're walking off the first tee, I yell, "Hey, Tony, that was so much fun last night. I loved the dinner. That was the greatest." And Tiger looks right at him, and you see Tony say, "There were a lot of people there, and it was a really big deal, and a big function, and it was a random seating." Anyway, so those are a couple of little funny moments that we laugh about now, but at the time were pretty intense.
Holy crap! Look the hell out, Conor McGregor. Did you hear that story? Phil had dinner with Tiger's playing partner and then let Tiger know it on the golf course at a pro-am. And Tiger stared down Tony Romo, and it was freaking intense. I can't believe these two dudes didn't drop their bats and give each other the hands right then and there. Man, I am so glad. I am so relieved that they can now laugh about that because, man, that was intense. That was intense. Great story, Phil. Really funny, really interesting, really intense, and what an amazing payoff, too, at the end. I mean, freaking psych. So now you know why I'm counting down. Psych! Now you know why I'm counting down. Because my tolerance for this incredibly lame event is tapped out. And we've got 10 more days of this? Open invite to Rory and JT. If you want to stop by Casa Rome and watch literally anything other than that crap next weekend, it won't cost you a damn penny. My door's open. We won't be watching that. Man, my man, Phil is working hard. Just selling that thing like, "Oh man, I got a story. Check this out."
My favorite thing about Ole Miss is the education that I receive here. Psych.
Thanks, James. That's a much better story. I'd pay $20 just to watch a pay-per-view of the Mississippi Queen talk about all the benders that she's been on. Her stories are much better. Much more entertaining. Way better. Psych. James Kelly, thanks for getting that in there the same day that I asked for it. Psych.
Psych.
Psych. Meanwhile, the two losers who work for me are paying for it. Well, one is, and the other one would if he could. The only thing worse than Keith Arnold throwing down for that already is Hawk not having enough money to throw down for that already. At least Keith can afford it. Who's paying for that, honestly? Literally, the sack, the gonad that it takes to put it out there like, "Hey, listen, here's what we're doing. We're going to give you an opportunity to watch a couple of guys way past their prime do something that you've seen for free forever. And we're going to ask you to pay $20 for it." Wow, dude, that takes some nerve right there. DRod2203 tweets, "I'd rather pay $20 to watch Sparrow hit balls off the flight deck's dome in the Pacific than watch that dumpster fire." For sure. This guy's Twitter handle is "You Smell of Tuna." Which one of you idiots brought me that? Oh, we're out of time. Okay, when we come back, we are going to once again continue our efforting of Miles Plumlee. Still ahead, some college football. College Football Playoff Committee released its latest standings. The Domers are not happy about it. The Domer Nation. Also, an update on Mike Leach, the Pirate. Third hour, straight ahead. Do not go anywhere.